Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. A very happy Friday. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on February the 20th. Coming up, businesses in Canterbury are still unable to trade days after a huge fire. Young people in Kent are being encouraged to show their love for nature. And we look ahead to Chatham Town's game in the fifth round of the Women's FA Cup. But first today, a primary school in Chatham has been placed in special measures by inspectors who found staff physically intervened with pupils. Well, Kate joins me now with more on this story. Kate, can you tell us more about what's in the latest Ofsted report for Wayfield Primary?
Yes, so inspectors from the Watchdog visited the school last December at around the same time the head teacher had decided to step down. During that visit, they found that safeguarding measures were not being met and demanded that urgent improvements be implemented. They'd gone to the school following several complaints which raised concerns about the school, which is run by the Primary First Trust. Last November, Kent Online reported how a five-year-old brought a small knife into the classroom. Police were alerted, but no action was taken. In a report, the chief inspector said the school failed to give its pupils an acceptable standard of education, and the persons responsible for leading, managing, or governing the school are not demonstrating the capacity to secure the necessary improvement in the school.
And what else was highlighted?
Well, it states that the school's safeguarding procedures are not effective in keeping pupils safe. It goes on to say there were too many times when staff physically intervened when managing pupils' behaviour and excessive and inappropriate force was used. They also discovered that conduct in lessons was often disruptive and boisterous behaviour was not addressed by staff at break times. There'd been an increase in the number of children being persistently absent and staff morale was low. However, there was one positive note, with pupils, parents and carers greeted warmly by staff as they entered the school site.
And a leading education expert has reacted to the report. Kate, what's he said?
Well, Peter Reid is an independent education advisor, and he's told Kent Online this is the most shocking Ofsted report he's read for years. The former head teacher says the failings in safeguarding practices were particularly disturbing. To add, we've also heard from the Primary First Trust, who have told us the school leaders at Wayfield Primary are committed to achieving rapid and lasting improvements following the Ofsted inspection. They go on to say they take the report very seriously and have already begun implementing a robust program of improvement. Two interim co-head teachers have been appointed and safeguarding procedures have been reviewed and refined. In another statement, the pair have said they recognise the seriousness of this report and are absolutely dedicated to delivering the quality education and care that all pupils and families deserve.
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and a father and son accused of murdering a four-year-old boy in a hit-and-run in Southfleet have been found not guilty. Peter Maugham was in a Ford Ranger, which was clipped at speed by another vehicle on New Barn Road last June. 27-year-old Owen Maugham admitted manslaughter and inflicting grievous bodily harm ahead of the trial. His father, 54-year-old Patrick Maugham, was found guilty of the same offences, along with causing serious injury by dangerous driving. Well, Detective Sergeant Dean Sycamore spoke outside court following the verdict.
Owen and Patrick Maugham have today been convicted of causing the death of four-year-old Peter Maugham and seriously injuring his father, Lovell. For reasons we may never know, Owen deliberately rammed their vehicle off the road before he and Patrick fled the scene, showing no regard for the devastation they had left behind. The jury agreed that this was a deliberate act, and the passenger, Patrick, intentionally encouraged his son to drive this way. Both men must now face the consequences of their actions. This was a tragic and entirely avoidable incident. An innocent young child has lost his life. A father has been left unable to walk again, and a mother now faces the unimaginable task of rebuilding her family while carrying her grief. Their lives have been irreversibly changed by the deliberate and dangerous actions of these two men. Yet despite everything, the victims and their wider family have showed extraordinary courage and resilience throughout the trial. I hope today's verdict brings them some measure of justice and offers a small degree of comfort to Peter's loved ones.
The pair from Hill Rise in Darrenth will be sentenced at a later date. Two people have been taken to hospital following a serious crash in Gillingham. Emergency services were called to Deanwood Drive just after three this morning and the road was closed in both directions. The victims were taken to a London hospital in a life-threatening condition. Investigations are ongoing. Police searching for a missing teenager from Maidstone have found a body. Jason Stevens disappeared last Friday evening. Yesterday, officers recovered a body from Blean Woods in Canterbury near to where the 18-year-old's car was found. We're told the death is not being treated as suspicious. Investigations are underway after two dead ponies were found dumped in a field near Dartford. They were discovered near the riverbank footpath behind the industrial park in Crayford Creek Road in Crayford last Tuesday. Their bodies have been covered with tarpaulin. The RSPCA want to speak to anyone with information. A Margate man has been jailed for carrying out an attack on his neighbour which left him on a ventilator. Archie Rickson got into an argument about noise with his victim before assaulting him with a chair leg, resulting in a bleed on the brain and multiple skull fractures. Rickson, who was 21 at the time of the attack last March and lives in Ethelbert Crescent, has been locked up for 5 years and 4 months. And one man's been arrested after a car crashed into parked vehicles and flipped onto its roof on a residential street in Tenham. It happened in the early hours of Wednesday morning in Lower Road. There were no injuries reported. A 26-year-old man was taken into custody on suspicion of drink driving.
Kent Online reports.
Next today, and we've been hearing from a business owner in Canterbury who's still unable to trade days after a devastating fire nearby. The Odeon Cinema in St George's Place caught alight last Saturday afternoon. Two teenagers have since been arrested on suspicion of arson and released on bail. Well, Louise Jones-Roberts runs Tokyo Tea Rooms and she's been told they can't reopen until the area is deemed safe.
Our business has been significantly impacted by the fire in the former Odeon building. So we are in the bit that has been cordoned off by the police and Kent Fire and Rescue Services, which means that we're not able to trade at all. We're not even able to access the building. So it's been a significant impact. We were very, very concerned about the fire spreading to include Tokyo Tea Rooms. The saying about car crash television where you can't stop watching it. I literally stood for 4 hours in one block and then went home because I felt like this is ridiculous. There was nothing more. I was just stood there. And then I came back and then just proceeded to just do the same again for more hours. We were very concerned. But Kent Fire and Rescue Service were brilliant. They made sure that our building was kept damp and were protecting the spread of the fire from getting into coming over to our side, and they were doing that all around the building. So we're really grateful to them for the work that they did, the preventative work that they did. The latest information we've had from Kent Fire and Rescue Service is that there's been a structural survey done that has analysed the integrity of the building, and essentially they don't deem it safe, hence why it's in the cordoned off area. What that means, we're waiting now to hear back from Canterbury City Council on confirmation of what that means. But our understanding is that bits of the Odeon will probably have to be demolished before, so the area can be considered safe again before anything else can happen. How it will impact our business going forwards, we won't be able to open until the area is safe. And then our garden area is ruined from everything that's happened. So we're going to have to redo the garden area and potentially all of the back of the building. And then it's about the reality. It takes time to build things back up. So I envisage us having a bit of a slog again to get things back to where they were. But we have got some really loyal regular customers. So I'm hoping that we will be okay in the long run with that. But the situation we find ourselves in is where we are. And then it's just a case of making the best of the situation going forwards.
Now, Louise has been chatting to us as it's been suggested parts of the destroyed building could have to be demolished within days. You can see pictures from the time of the blaze within our story today at Kent Online. Staying in Canterbury, and a search is underway for a graffiti artist who keeps spraying the same tag in public places around the city. The symbols appeared at Toddler's Cove play area as well as on various walls and underpasses. Council bosses say it's cost nearly £2,000 of taxpayers' money to remove the paint. We've shared a CCTV image of a man they want to speak to via our socials. A prolific waste criminal has been ordered to pay more than £1.4 million after illegally dumping rubbish at 16 sites, including one in Kent. A warehouse at Westwood Business Park in Margate was among the locations used by Varun Datta, who'd set up his own recycling company. More than 4,000 tonnes of waste was dumped in total. The 36-year-old from Little Chester Street in Belgravia has been given a suspended prison sentence. Elsewhere, a fly tipper who left a pile of rubbish in Herne Bay town centre has been fined. Black bags, wooden panels and other junk had been dumped in Little Charles Street on January the 19th. The local authorities say an individual has been issued a fixed penalty notice after being tracked down by CCTV.
Kent Online reports.
The local authority in Kent say they've told the government to build three new special schools in the county. Rather than taking the cash to invest in alternatives, Kent County Council have asked the Department for Education to deliver sites in Whitstable, Swanley and Northfleet. It comes amid growing pressure on SEND services in Kent. The county has a significantly higher proportion of children with education, health and care plans than the national average. Plans to replace a chemist in Longfield with a new pharmacy and a block of flats have been rejected by the planning inspectorate. The council turned down the scheme for the former Lloyd's Pharmacy in Station Road last October. The site is currently being used by a home care service. Inspectors upheld that refusal, saying the project would significantly harm the area's character and appearance. There are concerns, meantime, over plans to re-divert a bus route in Medway through a proposed new 450-home development. House builder Taylor Wimpey wants to improve transport links for the estate between Hoo and Chattenden by rerouting the Arriva 191 service. Villagers say the route is already unreliable and any change could jeopardise what they get now. The developer says it would increase demand and secure the service's future. Now, young people in Kent are being encouraged to show their love for nature by taking part in a hedge planting campaign. Tomorrow is being dubbed Hedgentine's Day and is being celebrated with a planting event in Chislett near Canterbury. It's a joint project between the Campaign to Protect Rural England and Young Wilders. Well, Kate has been speaking to Andrea Griffiths from the CPRE.
It's actually an initiative that's been run by Young Wilders, who are a youth-led conservation organisation. So they've joined forces with CPRE to do some of our planting around the Hedgerow Heroes project. So the Hedgerow Heroes project is a CPRE project which started a few years ago with the aim to plant 100 miles of hedgerow or rejuvenate 100 miles of hedgerow before the end of this year, which is the centenary year for the charity. This is the first time Kent have been involved, so we're really excited. We've been planting, we're nearly finished, we've been planting 2.5 miles of hedgerow this year in Kent as towards that overall target. So Young Wilders got involved. They've been doing a couple of different days around the count, different counties. I think there's three happening. Obviously, one of those is one of our sites in Kent. So it's great.
And can you tell me, I mean, it sounds like a silly question, but the environmental benefits, why hedgerows? You know, why are they important? Why is it important that we cultivate them and grow them and maintain them?
Absolutely. So hedgerows are really important. They you know, they store carbon, they link other habitats together. They're fantastic for wildlife, so they provide food and shelter. And as I say, they reduce fragmentation by linking other habitats together as well. So kind of creating these green corridors. You know, they're storing carbon, they're helping keep the soils healthy, they're helping to, you know, improve resilience against flooding, all sorts of things. And we've lost a huge amount of hedgerow over the last couple of decades. So this project with CPRE is just trying to put some of that right and kind of get some more back in the ground, which is great.
And Lucy was able to catch up with Molly Easton from Young Wilders.
So we've got around 25 young people coming from all over Kent to come and plant 200 metres of hedgerow, which is very exciting. They're coming to a place called Clayhanger Hall. But if you type that into Google, different things come up. Main thing to know is it's in Chislett, and use the What Three Words from our Eventbrite if you want to come down.
Okay, brilliant. So why have these young people decided to get involved in this project, and why does it matter to plant this hedgerow?
Yeah, really good point. I mean, so from a nature perspective, we've lost a crazy amount of our hedgerows, which are such important elements of connectivity between a landscape for small mammals, birds, a whole host of reasons. And I think as a young person myself, I am really feeling kind of the sense of anxiety around climate change and biodiversity loss. And this is meant to be a really fun, empowering day where we all get together. I'm going to potentially meet loads of other like-minded young people and do something really positive for kind of our local environment and for nature.
Kent Online News.
£10,000 is being spent to upgrade public toilets in Sandwich. The money for the refurbishments in the cattle market has been made available after the council secured funding from the UK Shared Prosperity Fund. Three retailers have left the Ashford Designer Outlet just months after bosses announced they were at 100% occupancy. Belstaff, Calendar Club and Puma Clearance are now closed. Rosslyn Bromley is also due to shut its doors after going into administration, but no date has been set just yet. The landlord of a pub near Ashford has bought his own black cab to offer his customers free taxi rides home. Paul Hartfield runs the Flying Horse in Smarden and will see passengers home as long as they live no more than 3 miles away. He doesn't make any money out of the service. Instead, he encourages passengers to make a donation to charity. And a new robot has been used for the first time to perform surgery on patients at the William Harvey Hospital in Ashford. The multi-million pound kit called Hugo allows operations to be less invasive and more precise. Doctors say it's been used on patients with bowel cancer with an excellent outcome.
Kent Online Sports.
Football now, and Chatham Town are getting ready for a huge weekend. They're playing in the fifth round of the Women's FA Cup. They'll be the underdogs tomorrow as they take on WSL 2 side Birmingham City at St Andrews. We caught up with manager Keith Bonas.
The one thing I know I've got in this group is heart. Heart and desire and passion. And they're not unfit. We've got a really good S&C coach. You know, as much as they have to juggle lives and juggle jobs and looking after families, they work hard in their own free time. So apart from the training sessions that we do, it's obviously only twice a week. They have S&C sessions. They go and do their own stuff in the gym, which we give out, and it's monitored, and they send in what they do. So they work above and beyond to try and achieve fitness levels. I don't think the gap will be that big. It might matter at a certain stage in the game, but we've got a good bench as well. We've got a good squad. So if I have to change players to get that energy back into the side, I'm fully confident any player that I do that with will give us that extra push when we need it.
Defender Lucy Jones has also been chatting to reporter Finn McDermott from our colleagues at KMTV about the atmosphere at the club.
We're all very excited. It's, yeah, I guess, a local buzz as well around the place. So not necessarily just us as a team, but yeah, the local area, all the younger age groups as well. We're all really looking forward to it. And yeah, it's the last few weeks, obviously, we've been looking forward to it as well. Had other games in the meantime to try and focus on, but that's always been in the back of my mind, so we're all really excited.
How do you prepare yourself before you're going out to a game, from whether it's training or right up to that starting whistle?
Yeah, so we'll work really hard in training this week. Obviously, we've been focusing on previous games as well in the previous weeks, but always with that in the back of our mind of building to this big game. So during the day, yeah, we'll get the coach up. Everyone will be together, be able to spend some time together, have a good meal beforehand, and yeah, just soak up, I guess, the atmosphere and enjoy the day. Mentality wise, we'll go into it like any other game. I know it's so easy and so cliche to say, but we have to go into it with that way. Yeah, it's just exciting. It's just a massive opportunity. So yeah, we're really excited to kick it on.
And goalkeeper Simone Elegant has been telling Finn how their cup run has felt so far.
It's been exciting, stressful at times. With the two shootouts, you just kind of have to hold your nerve and be confident going into it. But it's been an exciting journey for me.
Absolutely. Tell me a bit about that journey. Where did you start playing football?
So I started for fun in the playground, and I became a keeper because I was like, I don't want to kick the ball, but I want to play with my friends, and I was used to playing netball. So I started there, and I went through the Millwall Academy system, and then Chelsea under 21s, and then I went to college at Yale, and did some scholarship work out there, which was a really fun experience as well. Yeah, and then I've been at Chatham.
Staying with football, and the Gillingham boss is looking for a response from his squad in this weekend's League Two clash with Oldham Athletic. The Gills suffered another defeat away at Chesterfield during the week, and that loss leaves them 14th in the table. Tomorrow's opponents are in 16th, and Gareth Ainsworth has been speaking to the club's media team.
Tough game in League Two, obviously. Oldham done brilliant to get out of the National League last year, and Mickey's done a brilliant job with them, you know, coming in. Tough, you know, the leagues are quite close, you know, the National League and League Two. I think there's still some big teams in that National League coming and compete, but look what Bromley have done after a few years, and Oldham, yeah, I mean, done really well. North West club, ex-Premier League club when I was young, so big club, big following, and yeah, good manager. Mickey knows what he's doing, and it'll be a tough test for us on Saturday. But as you say, we're back at home. I want to win the game, yeah, without a doubt. I want to give the Gills fans something to shout about. Last two games have been, you know, a little bit of damp squibs, you know, with set-piece goals, 1-0 defeats away from home on the road, cold evening. Gillingham fans have been brilliant, absolutely brilliant. Oh, come stop. Somebody told me that when they watched it on the iFollow or whatever it's called now, the camera panned round at the end of the game and all the fans were clapping the players, and all the players were going right up to the fans saying, we've given everything. We just came up short tonight, and I think that they're very understanding. I don't want to come up short on Saturday. I want to make sure that we are, you know, clinical. We're also good going forward, but really solid at the back. And any little worries I've got, we're working over the next couple of days. And I'm sure Mickey will come down and give us a good test, but I'm going for the win on Saturday.
I know you do an immense amount of preparation on all opponents, but when you come up against a manager who you've probably come up against before, do you have half an inclination as to what they may do?
Yeah, you do, but this league as well, you know, we've had teams who've changed formation, changed selection. Over the years as well, managers change. You know, I've changed over the years, and Mickey has as well. So when we first met, I think it was probably about 2012, you know, he was Shrewsbury manager, I think, then, and I was Wickham manager, 2013 maybe. So that's 12 years ago, you know. So as we've both progressed through our careers, we've all gone everywhere else, and it shapes you as a person and a manager. And Mickey's a tough taskmaster, you know. He'll know what he wants from his team. He'll be working hard on that, and he has an identity, and we'll have to combat that. And likewise, I have my identity, I have my styles, my players, my way of doing things, and yeah, we'll prep the correct way, and hopefully on the pitch the boys can deliver.
Kick-off at Priestfield tomorrow is at 3. You'll be able to follow the match action at Kent Online Plus. We'll have details of the result in bulletins over on our sister radio station KMFM on Sunday, and reaction in full in Monday's episode of the podcast. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials. Plus, you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk. And whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust. This is the Kent Online Podcast.